to you. But Revelation chapter number 20 tonight, look at verse number 6. We'll read one verse, and hopefully you brought your Bible flipping fingers with you tonight. And we'll be looking at some passages throughout the Word of God. But look at Revelation chapter 20, verse number 6. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. Well, who is that, preacher? That's those of us that are saved by the grace of God. Right, that first resurrection, Jesus was the first fruits of the resurrection. You and I are the reality of that. We are resurrected. We are brought out of this world. We're brought back to life, no doubt. But look at verse number 6. By the blessed and holy is he that hath the first part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power. The second death hath no power. The second death hath no power. Preacher, can I lose my salvation? No, because the second death hath no power. You're not going to stand on the great white throne of judgment. Oh, we will stand before Christ, and we'll give an account of what we did with our salvation, but I'll never hear, depart from me, I never knew you. Because he knows me, and I know him, and I know him for all eternity. And he ain't going nowhere, and I'm just not going to go anywhere either. I'm going to enjoy the goodness of God tonight. Look at this. Blessed is holy and holy is he that hath the first hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ. I left the movement. I wasn't for the priest. But one day I'm going to be one. I ain't going to wear no dress either, amen. But they shall reign, they shall be priests of God and of Christ. Matter of fact, you look in the Old Testament, what do those priests do? They serve God. They served in the temple. And shall reign with him 1,000 years. There's an interesting thing. When you read Revelation chapter number 20, I think it's 6 times in there, God says 1,000 years. And yet men are still going to argue about that. It's not actually 1,000. God said it 6 times. It's 1,000-year millennial reign of Christ. We know it's going to come in after the rapture and after the tribulation and after the Antichrist and the false prophet are cast into the lake of fire, and then after Satan is bound for and put into a bottomless pit for 1,000 years, will rule and reign. It'll be a time that this world has not seen since before the fall of man, an atmosphere that we have not seen since before the fall of man. But let's pray to Heavenly Father. Lord, we do thank you tonight for your grace. We do thank you for your goodness. Lord, David wasn't lying when he said, surely goodness and mercy follow me all the days of my life. Lord, it seems everywhere I turn, everywhere I look, I bump into mercy. I'm reminded of your goodness. Lord, just standing here tonight, Lord, it's a room full of the goodness of God. God, I have a family. I've got a precious wife, wonderful children, a great church, a great church family. And Lord, the only reason I can chalk it up is to the goodness of God. Lord, I haven't manufactured anything. I haven't earned anything. I've just simply tried my best to follow you, to serve you, to listen to you. I thank you, Lord, for being good to me and being good to our church. Lord, there's a lot that we could complain about. Lord, there's a lot that we could argue about, we could nitpick about. But the reality is, Lord, you've been good to us. And I pray, Lord, as we get into this study of the millennial reign of Christ, Lord, give us a just clear thought, clear understanding, and Lord, a great expectation and a great excitement of what we're going to experience as the bride of Christ. We sure are grateful, Lord, that we're on the winning side. Sure are grateful, Lord, that we can face eternity and face the days of the future with faith and certainty and assurance that, Lord, you're still on the throne and you're in control. We're on the winning side. Lord, we love you and we thank you. Help us now from the Word of God. Hide me behind the cross of Calvary. Lord, get out of myself and fill me with the Spirit of God. And Lord, be careful to give you all the glory and all the praise. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. We are living in a generation, we're living in a society, we're living in a world that has strived and desired peace more than anything else. Right, they want worldwide peace. We have tried every man-made effort that we can, that is possible. We've turned to anything and everything to achieve worldwide peace, and look where we are. We've tried education. If we just educate people more, if we teach them more, if we make them more understanding and more inclusive, and when we teach them, then they will have peace. We were in town this afternoon picking up some things last minute for the trip. And we had went into a restaurant to eat, and we were watching disc golf at the table on my phone, and we were eating our food in the table next to me. I don't know if these people were on a date. I don't know if they were interviewing it. I don't know what they were doing. There was a lady and a man sitting at a table. He had a pad and paper out. He was taking notes, and they were asking each other questions. I don't know what in the world was going on. Who does this? But every now and again, I'd catch a glimpse or catch a glimpse. Here's some words from their conversation. And the lady said, yeah. And they literally said, okay, now we will discuss religion. We will talk to each other about religion. Who talks like that to each other? But and the lady said, well, you know, they gave their backgrounds, and I could hear a little bit here and there. And finally, the lady said, well, I actually just started going to a new church. It's non-denominational. And she said, I really like it. And while I'm there, we've been involved in some queer rights campaigns. Oh. She says, a great church. It just feels wonderful. And I thought, that's so far from the truth. That's so far from reality. Of what the Bible clearly says. And said, preacher, do we hate those people? Well, of course not. We want them to see them saved by the grace of God. We want God to change their life. But we don't do so by holding hands with them and saying, everything's all right, we're all the same. We believe the same way. You got to realize when Jesus came preaching the gospel. He came with love and compassion. But in his teaching and in his preaching, there was an element of separation. Either you'll go with me, or you won't. Either you'll believe or you won't. And we'll see, this isn't anything new. Satan don't have any new tricks. He just redresses them up. But the world has craved peace. Oh, preacher, if we just get the right people into the UN, and we get the right people into NATO, then we will have peace. Can I let you in on something tonight? That's just about money and control. They don't care about peace. They want to know how much money they can get into their pockets. It's an amazing thing how many politicians go into politics with no money and come out of it with a whole lot of money. And I don't know where my money went. I pay taxes for what? But we see it or not, there's been a desire for peace. We've tried education. We've tried legislation. We tried to legislate peace in the world. It hasn't worked. We've tried reformation. Let's reform some things. Let's change some things up. Let's try something new. It hasn't worked. There is no peace. And why is that, preacher? Because as long as men are in charge, as long as people with flesh and bones are in charge, we realize tonight the reality of war is not an if, but a when. When is it going to take place? We read about it in Matthew, about the wars and rumors of wars. I mean, if you want to go home encouraged tonight, I'd encourage you not to turn on the news. But I guarantee if you turn it on tonight, you'll pick it up somewhere. We're on the brink of World War III. So, preacher, how long have we been on the brink of World War III since the end of World War II? There could be World War IV and V. We don't know. But we see tonight that as long as men are in charge, there is no reality of peace. Not just that men are in charge, but the fact that Satan is loose tonight. He is the prince of this world. He is the prince of the power of the air. He is controlling and pulling the strings. And his desire is being played out in the hearts of men. And as long as that is tonight, there will be no worldwide peace. There may be a worldwide a ceasefire. There it is, a worldwide ceasefire. North Korea and South Korea aren't shooting each other, but I wouldn't say they're at peace. Right, we see it all around us tonight. But here's as long as men are in charge and as long as Satan is still the prince of the power of the air, it's going to be that way. But there is coming a time for 1,000 years when Christ comes back and he has done what we mentioned tonight. He has chained up Satan and he sits on the throne of David and he establishes this earthly kingdom and this earthly reign. For 1,000 years, there will be peace. Now, here's the interesting thing tonight. When we read about the Antichrist, he brought in a supposed peace, didn't he? But he did it through control, and he did it through deception. And really, he was not striving for peace. He was striving for control. He deceived the people. The false prophet came in, and they brought peace. And then everything switches. But for 1,000 years, Jesus will rule and reign, and there will be peace. Why? Well, let's look at some characteristics. One, Satan will be chained. We talked about that last week. We preached about it last week. And boy, I'm looking forward to that day. When Satan is chained in the bottomless pit, and we don't have to worry about him whispering, we don't have to worry about him doing those things and deceiving the people. Just think about this one. Think about the number of sermons that have been preached. Think about the number of tracts that have been given. Think about the missionaries that have been sent out around the world. Think about the number of books that have been written and the Bibles that have been handed out, all trying to defeat sin. And can we all agree tonight that sin is still rampant in our culture? Why? Satan's still here. He's still here, and he's still deceiving the hearts of men. And so since as far as we can go back to the Garden of Eden, we, even with man's best efforts and man's best desires, we understand that until the Lord comes back, this thing's going to be a battle. It's going to be a struggle, and sin is going to be a real thing until that moment where Christ establishes his throne. Here's the thing, but when he's locked up, he won't be able to tempt or trick nobody. He won't be able to ask those doubting questions. Hath God really said? Would you really do that? Do Christians really say that? What a day that's going to be. What a time that's going to be. And we talked about that last week, so we know, notice number one, Satan will be chained. But notice number two, the nature of wild beast will change during the millennial reign of Christ. The nature of wild beast will change. You read the book of Genesis tonight. God brings every animal before Adam to name them, to give them names. The one with the long neck and the long sticky tongue. As Silas would say, he named him a giraffe. Right? But here's the thing. When you read Genesis, there is no indication there that when he brought the lion before Adam, Adam was afraid of it. Or when he brought before him the jaguar, that Adam was afraid of it. Or he brought before those animals now that if you and I seen them, we're running in the opposite direction. Right? Matter of fact, tonight, I would call you absolutely insane. Crazy. Preacher, I love to play with venomous snakes. You won't play by yourself. I ain't playing with you. Ain't none of my kids playing with you. Matter of fact, I'll stand. Don't come over here. There's a crazy snake. But notice here that there's going to come a time, and my mind can't comprehend this, where it'll be absolutely okay for a child to pick up a rattlesnake. I have no fear to bite it. Ms. Izzy said, Lord, help my unbelief. Take your Bibles and turn to Isaiah. Isaiah chapter number 11 tonight. You go down to verse number 6. The Bible said, the wolf also shall dwell with the lamb. Can I say, as a pastor, as a under-shepherd, I don't like wolves. I don't like them around the flock. I don't like them because they only cause damage. You got sheep at your house. You're not going to say, oh, cute, look, there's a wolf coming. That's a wonderful thing. No, you're gonna put that bad boy to sleep if you can. A nap he ain't going to get up from. Right, but we see there's coming a time where the wolf will lay down with the lamb. Or shall dwell with the lamb. In essence, you ain't got to have two different dwelling places. You got a lamb, we'll go put him in with the wolf. Everything will be all right. The leopard shall lie down with the kid. Talking about a goat there. And the calf and the young lion and the fatling together. And the little child shall lead them. What a sight. Christ is sitting on the throne. You just see a little kid running down the street, and he's got a 400-pound, I'm talking about mane out to here, lion on a leash. Well, he probably only had him on a leash. Come on, Rex. We're going to go see the wolves and the lambs. And there ain't going to be no fear there. Why? What brings fear into our life? Sin. Our flesh, our weakness. When that is removed, well, there will be no fear there. Look at verse number 7. And the cow and the bear shall feed. can I tell you something? They don't eat the same things. Only, I don't think I've ever seen a bear eat hay or feed whatever cows eat, grass. Matter of fact, bears would probably eat the cow nowadays. I must be a bear because I like eating cows. Cooked at a medium rare or medium well, delicious. The cow and the bear shall feed, their young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like an ox. What? But it's going to be like that. Preacher, do you believe the Bible? Every word of it. Can I say there's going to be, what a wonderful time that's going to be. It's going to blow my mind. I mean, National Geographic had it wrong all those years. Then he goes on to say, watch this, and the suckling child shall play on the hole of the asp. It's a poisonous snake. Shiloh is 2 years old. She was trying her best this morning to try to get on a Gaither video the way she was singing in the choir. You know who she learned that from? Me. That's how I sing at the house. I don't know, one day I reared back, I was singing as loud as I could sing, playing around. I didn't know my wife was on the phone. with a church member. And thankfully, y'all didn't hear me. Well, if you did, you didn't say anything. Who's dying in the back? The suckling child shall play on the hole of the asp, and the weaned child shall put his hand in the cockatrice's den. That is also a poisonous snake. Sounds like cockroach, not the same thing. But here's the thing. Miss Silent, we don't just let her go outside and play. Shut the front door and say, all right, well, just come back when you're ready to come back in. Right, because we know there's dangerous things out there. Where you live, where we live at, snakes aren't an if, it's a when. And we know that, so we're dangerous, but there's going to come a time where you fast forward in that sense. You want to go outside and play with the snakes? Go ahead. They're not going to hurt you. There's no potential for danger. Say, preacher, how in the world is that going to be? Because Christ is going to usher in a peace that you and I feel and we experience by faith now. It's unspeakable. It passes understanding. A child playing with a snake with no danger, that passes my understanding. But it's the reality of the peace of God being applied in the sun. Not only are the nature of wild beasts going to change, but we also know that the very curse of the earth, the ground of the earth is going to be changed. Genesis chapter number 3, what did God curse? He cursed the ground and he cursed the serpent. And he told Adam that he was going to work and he was going to sweat and he was going to get tired and jobs weren't going to be fun. Well, how many have started the job? And you're like, man, this is the greatest job ever. And 3 weeks later, and this ain't nothing but work. Why? That's how it is. That's the reality of the world that we live in. Well, preacher, if you find something you love, you'll never work a day in your life. I love pastoring. Well, there's some days it's work. When it comes time to do the bills, when it comes time to fill out the paper, when it comes time to do all that stuff, I don't get to say, oh, yes, here we go. Come on, IRS. I'm on paper. I love filling in numbers. And I don't. But can I say tonight, there's going to come a time when that 1,000 years begins and that curse is removed. Places that are deserts will burst forth with vegetation. Places that have dried up and that have just become just barren places once again bring forth fruit. I remember it blew my mind learning that more than likely, prior to the flood, Adam and Eve were vegetarians. It blew my mind. What? I preach against them. Amen. God said, kill the fatted calf. Don't kill no skinny ones. You're going to be doing forever. But the nature of wild beasts will change. The earth, the curse will be moved from the earth and it'll burst forth like it was designed to do in the beginning. Why? Christ is in charge. Satan's bound. And he is ruling and reigning as Almighty God. Do you realize tonight that the environment, nature itself, has no ability to disobey God? It always will obey God. And we're going to see that firsthand come the millennial reign of Christ. Not only will the nature of wild beasts change and the earth in the sense will change, but number three, war will be at an end. War will be at an end. Look at Matthew chapter number 24. Matthew chapter number 24. Matthew 24 verses 6 through 8 describes the day and age that you and I live in. The Bible said, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass. The end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in diverse places." It sounds like the Bible just turned on Fox News. All these are the beginning of sorrows. We know that our society, we know where it's headed during that tribulation time. We know what it's going to be like. Thank God we are not there yet. And nor will we have to go through it. But we understand that, yes, it's bad now. Smile. It's only going to get worse. It's just the beginning of sorrows. But then you go to Micah chapter 4, verse number 3. In essence, tonight, you and I live being prepared. The what if. I've got to be ready just in case. Look at verse chapter 4 of Micah, verse number 3. "And he shall judge among many people and rebuke strong nations afar off. And they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up a sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more." When Christ is in charge, people are like, "I forgot how to fight." Well, learn war. Well, there's nothing to fight about. You know what? Go ahead and take that M16. Let's turn it into a rake. Because we got a whole lot of carrots coming out the ground now. Right? Everything changes. For 1,000 years, it is an amazing experience. You know, it's interesting. I knew about the millennial reign of Christ. And I knew it was something that was prophetic and it was going to take place. But the more I read about that, it blows my mind. Of what it's going to be like. It's almost point like, people are like, "Hey, millennial reign of Christ." No, the millennial reign of Christ is going to be amazing. To watch Christ rule and reign. The Bible said we will reign with him. But notice, war will be in the current environment. We're always on the brink of war. We're one decision away. We're one bad statement away. We're one hurt ego away from war. Millennial reign of Christ, absolutely no war. No war, no rumors of war, no way talking about. You remove war. I had to ask myself, what are the news stations going to report? What are they going to talk about? Well, it's another wonderful, peaceful day in the kingdom of Christ. I still got a feeling that CNN is going to report fake news. Figure out some way to blame Trump for it. But war will be at an end. You can literally, I don't have to train you to fight. I don't have to teach you to do. War's at an end. We never have to worry about losing a loved one. I grew up in a military family, grew up in a military environment. Always wondering if my dad was going to be the next one. Dad overseas for my birthday. Dad overseas for Christmas. Dad overseas. And he wasn't overseas on vacation. It's in Bosnia, Kuwait, Afghanistan. Somalia. Always wondering, is he going to be home? Is he going to make it home? Because I've driven down the neighborhoods and seen the yellow ribbons. Been to the funerals. But when war is removed, there is no worry about that anymore. Well, there is no war. There is no war. War will be at an end. Then notice this. Number four, the knowledge of the Lord will cover the earth. The knowledge of the Lord will cover the earth. Look at Isaiah chapter number 9. We were just there. Isaiah 11, chapter 11, verse number 9. The Bible says, they shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain. For the earth shall be filled or shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. The knowledge of the Lord is going to cover the earth. Well, preacher, why do we support missionaries? Why are we involved in foreign missions? Because we want the gospel to go forth. We want it to be around the world telling Jesus saves, Jesus saves. When Christ sets up his kingdom, it's not his kingdom and a whole bunch of other ones, it's his. And his knowledge, the knowledge of the Lord, will cover the entire earth. This week we're at Good News Club. And I don't know if the young lady forgot or she just couldn't remember. She was nervous. I put her on the spot. I don't know what it was. She raised her hand when I asked the question. I said, what did Jesus do 3 days after he died? She said, yes, what did he do? I forgot what he did. Here's the crazy thing. Every week we mention that. Jesus did not stay in the tomb. He rose again the third day. But can I say there's coming a time where there's, what did Jesus do after he died? He rose again. The knowledge of the Lord will cover the earth. Well, how many have maybe passed out a tract and you talk to somebody, you realize they have no idea about Jesus. They have no idea about the Lord. It's coming a day where you meet somebody, you talk to them, they're going to know about him. He's the king. He's in charge around here. War will be in an end. The knowledge of the Lord will cover the earth. Habakkuk 2, verse 14 says the same thing. It said, and flocks shall lie down in the midst of her and all the beasts of the nations. Well, that is Zephaniah. That is not right. There it is. Micah 4, verse 3. And he shall judge among many people and rebuke strong nations afar off. And they shall beat their swords and the plowshares and their spears and the pruning hooks. Nations shall not lift up sword against nations, neither shall they learn of war anymore. That is not Habakkuk either. There it is. I'll get there eventually. Habakkuk 2. For the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord. That sounds like the verse I was looking for. As the waters cover the sea, the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the Lord. The Antichrist and the false prophet forced a one-world religion. Right? They deceived the people into a one-world religion. When Christ rules, he is all. And his knowledge will spread around the entire world. Christ will defeat all other... During the millennial Antichrist, you're not going to have Christians and other people. You're going to have people that acknowledge that Christ is Lord. He is king and in charge. Why? Jesus is compassionate. Jesus is loving. Jesus is kind. He's caring, but he does not share the throne. Why? He's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Nobody's worthy to share the throne with him anyways. He's God all by himself. So with the knowledge of the Lord will cover the earth. Then notice number 5 tonight. The saints will rule and reign with Christ. The saints will rule and reign. Who is that? That's me and you. Those of us saved by the grace of God. We know there will be some tribulation saints that will be brought in during that time as well. But the Bible teaches that you and I will rule and reign with Christ. 1 Corinthians 6, 2. Do you not know that saints shall judge the world? And if the world shall be judged by you, are you unworthy to judge the smallest matters? And then it goes on to the same thing in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 12 tells us the same thing, that saints will rule with Christ and reign. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. And so we see tonight that there is a reality that you and I are going to rule and reign with Christ. Now, we don't exactly know exactly how all this is going to shake out. Like, what position do you get compared to what position I get? The Bible didn't say, well, if you do this 3 times, if you win 13 people to the Lord in your life, and you have 74 answers to prayer, and you read the Bible 6 times through, then you will get this position in the millennial reign of Christ. It's not in there. Right? The Bible does give us an insight into it, though. He that is faithful over little, I'll make him ruler over much. See, a lot of times we focus on the big names. Right? I'm not saying every big name preacher that is well known is a bad preacher or is off on doctrine or things like that. But we think, man, Boy, they are going to rule and reign with Christ. I think sometimes we got it backwards. Because I think God values the prayers of a faithful granny and a grandma. I firmly believe that there will be some preachers that are going to step back. I don't think they're going to get there and be like, he's going to call me first. But they're going to watch people they had never heard of, that nobody else ever knew, but were faithful over the little that God gave them. I couldn't help thinking about your friend, Miss Jillian. She mentioned to my wife while they were back there that she had a granny. She had a grandma that knew God. And on her deathbed, held Miss Rose's hand and told her, listen, if you want to go where I'm going, you need to trust the Lord. And I'm praying that one day you'll trust the Lord. I think about 12:30 this afternoon, there was a granny in heaven. She done got in. Running around with it. The angels were rejoicing. She said, I'm going to get on some of that myself. Oh, my. Just think about that. Well, I'm glad he hears your prayers. Maybe one day, the Lord tarries is coming on, and you're sitting in heaven, and you had to say goodbye to some that you loved, and praying that you get saved by the grace of God. Imagine when the alarm goes off in heaven, the news is found out that one you prayed for got in. Boy, you're going to run around. Me, preacher, I'm going to be dignified. Well, you go be dignified then. I get excited about it here. My angel better watch out, amen. I might give one of them a stole cold stunner. I'm so excited. Power bomb DDT. That's probably not going to happen. But just think about that right now. Take your eyes off everything else right now. Think right now, there's a granny in heaven shouting the glory down because he heard my prayer. Not only did he hear it, but he answered it. Answered it in his timing. The saints will rule and reign with Christ. I don't think you're going to get a walk around making decrees. I'm the governor of this province. You got to listen to what I say. I said we're going to reign with him. We're probably going to be like, what do I do here, Jesus? I don't know. I still don't know what to do. We're going to watch him rule and reign with full authority, with full power. We done watched him speak and annihilate. We done watched him bound up Satan. We're not going to jump in front of him and say, Lord, let me show you how this is done. We're going to see the earth ruled and reigned and ran like it was designed to be run. And we're going to step back again and remind us, he does all things well. Every decision he's going to make is going to be perfect. It's going to be right. I don't have that track record. I feel like sometimes I'm on the wrong end of that record. If it hadn't been for the grace of God, I have no idea how things would have played out. But he's never done anything wrong. We're going to watch him rule and reign his creation as it was designed to be done. Not overbearing, not ugly, not by deception, but with authority. And we'll bow and say, Lord, you truly are the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Lord, I feel so honored to reign with you. Thank you for letting me rule with you. I don't deserve any of this. One of the things I think is going to go missing when you and I are reunited with Christ is our ego. Because we ain't going to have room for it no more. And what a time that's going to be. 1,000 years we'll watch Christ reign. Then Satan will be loosed for a little bit. Then defeated. Cast into a lake of fire. And we ain't going to be upset one bit about it. You might be, I ain't. And then we'll see New Jerusalem, new heaven and new earth. And forever we'll be with the Lamb, be with the Lord. Well, I'm glad I got something to look forward to. I'm glad I go to a church that's got something to look forward to. We are not of most men miserable tonight because we know who we serve and we know that we're saved. How many are looking forward to the millennial reign of Christ? Preacher, I can't wait. I'm going to grab one of them snakes.